Good morning, a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, U.S. Capitol Police say they've uncovered intelligence of a possible plot by a militia group to breach the Capitol today. The threat appears to be connected to a far-right conspiracy theory, mainly promoted by supporters of QAnon, that Donald Trump will rise again to power on March 4th, the original inauguration day under the Constitution. The threats to the Capitol prompted the House to cancel their votes today.
You know, I don't like that at all. I don't like the idea that these mugs get away with stopping the Congress from doing its lawful business any more than on that fateful day of January 6th, they tried to hijack the election and stop it. The idea that the Congress itself can't be protected is beyond my understanding. Look, we have to be fair about this. Now that we know what these folks are capable of, now that we see a police officer dead and others that have passed as a result of this, we really have to enforce the law. We do know, and we've said it many times on these microphones, that if this was a Black Lives Matter protest, there would have been a different reaction. In fact, very few people suffered terribly, which, frankly, in terms of hijacking the American democracy, they should have. But they should have done in courts, not with guns or not with tear gas. The fact is that they got away with a good deal, and only a handful of people are being arrested for this obvious plot to subvert the government. So, David, if they try it again, they should be stopped, and I mean stopped. We fought in Europe, we fought in all kinds of countries in order to preserve the American democracy, and here, when it is most threatened, they are attempting to get away with it, and they have to be stopped, and the process of government has to go forward. And so, yes, I would criticize the Congress for not meeting today, that's for sure.
How about the House passing sweeping voting rights bill targeting state restrictions? The bill would impose new requirements, weakening restrictive state voter ID laws, says the New York Times, mandating automatic voter registration and expanding mail-in voting. Of course, the measure aimed at countering Republican attempts to clamp down on ballot access, but it appears to be doomed now for the Senate. We spoke about the Supreme Court case, and you pointed out that taking people's votes away is as much to do with stealing an election as the right wing had claimed about Biden's win.
That's right, David. You take all of the utterances that come out of that foul, miscreant former president's mouth, and it almost always turns out that's exactly what he's trying to do as he makes allegations about other people stealing. So now in the states, they are passing restrictive voting laws in Republican-controlled legislatures so that, for example, early voting may be prohibited or any of the things that have expanded the democracy so that people really do get to vote and their voices really are heard is blocked out, and along comes the Congress and the House of Representatives doing the right thing, passes a Voting Rights Act, it'll go to the Senate. It's, as you suggest, probably going to be doomed there, except that it really does need to be passed in the Senate too. You know, this idea of voting is absolutely fundamental to the American democracy, and the fact that Trump and his minions and the other people are trying to put a stop to it really has to be dealt with in the most protective ways. And this is a time when the going is getting tough, and this country has to show what it's made of.
Well, we've seen former President Donald Trump at CPAC on Sunday teasing another run in 2024, and we keep talking about the one thing that could prevent that. And in the Washington Post this morning, in Trump probe, Manhattan District Attorney puts pressure on longtime chief financial officer, and it's a long way between now and 2024 for the former president.
Yeah, David, nobody wants to go to jail. And if the top Trump person is faced with going to jail or telling the truth, and he hasn't got anybody out there who says, okay, you can lie because I'll pardon you, Trump doesn't have those powers anymore. District attorneys have a lot of power. And if, in fact, somebody is facing years in jail versus either less years or being off the hook, it becomes very seductive to tell the truth.
Let's turn to New York, Alan, where Governor Andrew Cuomo held his first briefing in 9 days on Wednesday. The first time he publicly addressed sexual accusations against him, saying that he's truly sorry. He choked up as he was apologizing. Many are calling for his resignation, but the governor said he will not resign. He said he was elected by the people of the state of New York, not politicians. Your thoughts on the statement yesterday?
Well, I thought it was effective. Look, Andrew Cuomo's biggest problem is Andrew Cuomo. His worldview, his Weltanschauung, has been from the very beginning Andrew Tough Guy. He thought that that was the way that it worked. What happened, of course, is that so many people felt that they had been run over. People like the Speaker of the Assembly, Carl Hastie, and his counterpart in the Senate. The Majority Leader, Andrea Stewart Cousins, turned on the governor. Look, if you're going to treat people badly, they are going to wait for their opportunity, and then they're going to take it. I don't find that attractive any more than Cuomo's running roughshod over them. Nevertheless, this is an opportunity, and they're turning on him. And he is now showing that there is a side of him which people can recognize as being sorry. On the other hand, David, a lot of women have been kissed in their lives. A lot of women have kissed men in their lives. There is a way in which this thing may be getting a little crazy. Do I think that Cuomo should be off the hook? Should he be propositioning people vaguely or not vaguely? No, he shouldn't. He's the governor of the state of New York. He has daughters. He knows what's at stake. Nevertheless, the idea that he would resign, frankly, I hope he doesn't. I don't get along with Andrew that well, to be honest with you. For a while, he was coming on WAMC, and we would have these conversations. But then he stopped doing that. I don't know why. I have reason not to like him at this stage of the game. And if you look at my record, while he was governor for 8 years, I was very critical of the guy. You could look it up, very critical for 8 years. And he reminded me of that every time we spoke. So let me just say, I just think he's the governor. He was elected. You know, the idea that his political enemies would turn on him and insist that he either be impeached or be removed or that he remove himself, I just think it's ludicrous.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us.